Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Tal Mandelbaum. Hello. And today we'd like to learn how can we become even happier. Each time on this show, we take a different aspect that has some kind of influence over our happiness, and we try to understand why does it impact our happiness and how can we use it in order to make ourselves or become happier. I hope it's going to be very interesting for you. And in general, today, what we'd like to talk about is happiness and health. Many interesting things to hear. Tal, lead the way. Yeah, our body is seemingly the closest, most precious thing to us. Maybe there's something else too. But yeah, at least it's felt that way. Right. And we see how much we invest in our body nowadays. We go to the gym. We try and keep our body healthy. And we try to make ourselves happier that way, all life long. Right, and our body allows us to do everything that we do, because if there's something wrong in my body, it immediately influences my mood. And it also allows us to enjoy ourselves. There are different pleasures that come through the body, including sports, running marathons, mountain climbing, people searching for adrenaline, hormones that are secreted in our body. There is a tight connection between the level of my happiness and my health. And if medicine nowadays deals especially with the body, psychology especially deals with the psyche, and there is a separation between our body and our thought, our mind, our emotion. But positive psychology claims that there is an important connection between body and soul. Whether it's working out, sleeping enough, working with our thoughts and emotions. And today, we'd like to deepen on the connection between our health and our happiness. And in general, how does living in a physical body influence my state of happiness? Well, first of all, I think that there are many different methods, especially Eastern methods. Yoga, meditations of different kinds, also treating people in different ways, like with stones, candles, different sorts of massage, music. Meaning it's not something new. And surely we're not discovering anything here about the mood influencing the body and the body influencing the mood. It's natural. Everyone knows. But the level of happiness, as we've said before, and as we all see, that lately, happiness is something that is becoming ever more important. And research, and in general, on the news, and also it's already in the press. In the past, it was only a matter of research. But there's talk about hormones, the hormone of happiness, oxytocin, yeah? And that's how it really is. Because if we're talking about nature as a whole, a big, comprehensive, integral nature, then the still vegetative animate and people are all interdependent. And we see that the general interdependence is felt and understood by us and to everyone. Even a dog. If the dog's sick, then you can see the dog's mood correspondingly. You don't necessarily have to look at people. Even a plant, where we can understand its state, how it feels, that if it lacks something, how much the bodily state influences the mood and vice versa. Meaning, in the generality of nature, meaning the still vegetative animate and human beings and each and every detail, whether it's a plant or animal or man, etc., etc., we're dependent on all these factors internally, integrally, and integrally in general. And therefore, we need to be concerned. Sana in corpore sano. It's Latin for a healthy mind and a healthy body. And therefore, we need to see these things in a single harmony, as a single mechanism, that if we wish to influence man's health, we can do it through a person's mood, and the other way around, we can influence a person's mood through their health state. Of course, it doesn't necessarily have to be that way, because it could be a very healthy person, but he's lacking in other things, maybe basic necessary things, and then it impacts their mood. But actually, for sure, it is one of the strongest factors that influence the level of our happiness. Happiness is measured by many parameters. I read several of these researches, and really, I'm not so happy with the study cases that they take or data that they take in order to measure happiness. So, you know, the happiest people are in Bhutan or someplace that, from what I saw, I didn't see people that are that happy there. And if a person's sitting and is as if happy, but he has nothing, it doesn't mean that he's happy nonetheless, even by his own particular feeling. That's incorrect. I became familiar with this life as much as I could from the side, and the favelas and different other states. I was practically in all South American countries because I have many students there, many friends. Meaning, how do we measure happiness and the connection between happiness and health? Depends on what do we consider health, because usually when we say health, we look at a person, you know, macho, healthy, could be very unhealthy. But, you know, and if we run some tests, we'll discover who knows what. But even if on the tests we discover that he's completely healthy, you start talking to that person, and then we see that he is very far from the degree of happiness. And someone else who's living a pretty restricted life and doesn't have much, but feels happy. Meaning, it can go either way. We can only point at one thing, that without a certain degree of health, a person can't be happy. Because it bothers him all the time. He all the time gets different inner disturbances from the body, so much so that he can't feel happiness, because happiness is a feeling nonetheless. It's an inner, personal, individual feeling that if I feel it, I do. If I don't, I don't. We can say, why do we? Why don't we? Confuse things. But in practice, a person needs to be on a level of happiness. And the health needs to, you know, there needs to be some kind of basic level of health, at least. Many times I saw disabled people. Doesn't matter, has nothing to do with happiness, because that's their constant state. Maybe a person's all the time in a wheelchair, but that's a normal state. It doesn't worry him anymore. And then he's happy. And even happier than other people that feel that they need to really run around and achieve much. Happy is he who's content with what he has. And in some way, it actually causes that person to be happier than others that are as if not limited. So his sense of happiness is not limited, but theirs is, because they're not physically limited like he is. That's interesting. Yeah, happens that way. Meaning, here we need to see some kind of breakthrough to how to bring a person to happiness. maybe when we will give some kind of education by which we will see that it is worthwhile for a person to limit himself from the start, that this limitation will not bring him to be restricted in life, but it will bring him to see life in a way that he'll want that which he is able of achieving, and he won't suffer of those things that he can't. And then he's suffering instead of feeling happy. Meaning that for him, what he has and what he wants, what he has and what he's capable of, that these things will be for him equal in balance. And then you can say that he will more easily reach a feeling of happiness. Same with health. We need to make sure that a person will understand that if he feels limited in the basic actions which he needs to perform in order to be happy, then that's not okay. He first of all needs to take care of his health, but not beyond. That beyond that, it's already exaggerated, because the purpose of life is to be happy. So, if a person does something beyond what's necessary in order to be happy, then we need to already see it as a kind of exaggeration that is unjustified. Now, the feeling of health and the feeling of happiness can go together if a person, in anything that he wants to do in order to be happy, is capable of physically doing it. Meaning that here, maybe he won't have exaggerated hopes. He won't need to jump off cliffs or sail in the open sea or who knows what, but that he'll see himself happy and that he's capable of functioning in life according to his age, according to the natural limitations, and in that we'll see himself happy, capable, good. Meaning here we have limitations that we need to give to a person through education, to open to him, to broaden his horizons, measures, what are the ordinary norms per age in regard to his health, and what does he need to take care of over time to remain on such a level of health that won't hurt his happiness. But eventually, the level of happiness for us is the measurement and the goal. We have many questions about the connection between the body and our state of happiness, but I didn't exactly understand the example about the disabled person. Once I saw a group of children that were, some of them were healthy, some of them had crutches, and maybe one or two had wheelchairs, and one of them was even on a stretcher. And the healthy children carried him. And they were all happy. It was in a park when I walked with my teacher, and so I got to speak a few words with their teachers. So their teacher said that he doesn't see the disabled children versus the healthy children that are healthy, whole, complete. He doesn't see any difference in them in regard to their sense of happiness. He says that if this is how they are in a society and are all included together, integrated, they don't feel themselves disabled, limited in any way, or that they're less happy than others, that they're carrying him and he's crying or something. No, not at all. That he's sitting in a wheelchair and he has a bad mood as opposed to others. No, they were playing ball. It was really a wonder. Probably it's a group that's together for a long time. So I learned a lot from looking at them. Afterwards, we sat on a bench, my teacher and I, and we talked about different things, and I looked at them. I saw that the happiness was, it included all of them, as if it embraced all of them, the sense of happiness and inspiration, shouting, yelling. It like embraced everyone. It's just an example for us that if society will be corrected like that group of children, that the connection between us, this mutuality, the habits between us, the closeness between us will be such that the state where the state of bodily limitations won't influence us, then no one will feel that there's any reason to be unhappy or less happy than others. Because what happens many times with people with disabilities is that they develop themselves in different directions, and usually they reach very high levels in science, like, for example, Hawking, yeah, or in art, in different things. So you're saying that it's possible to be happy even when there's a certain physical limitation or disability, as long as it does not harass you on a daily basis. Now, what I wanted to ask is, what's the difference between happiness and pleasure, delight, joy? Is there a difference between these definitions? It's a problem that there are many definitions. I can't say, are they better or not? And depending for whom. Happiness is the feeling of satisfaction from one's self-realization. It can be a person that's working at the bank and wants $1 billion. It could be a fisherman that goes out and wants to catch a few fish to have what to eat with his family today. Could be this, could be that. The main thing is that a person feels that he has realized himself and he has received satisfaction from himself, from the environment, from the connection with the environment. The environment could be nature, it could be people, etc. But all in all, it is a feeling that comes from a person's existence. Our problem is that now we're in a state where people are unhappy, and this is what we see from many surveys. The thing is that we've developed a lot in our ego with our demands, but we see that along with it, our life is shrinking, is as if shutting down and or closing in, and there's less and less possibilities of being happy, even though that we're going into an especially limited kind of culture or education. We're taught to be restricted to some kind of special music or fashion or something, for us to learn to be satisfied with that, not to jump. That riches he who is satisfied with what he has, but what he has is so miserable that it doesn't suit man at all. And so we see that the kind of education that we're getting is that we don't need to get married, we don't need to have children. We see that our generation is becoming infantile, that people no longer aspire to develop themselves. Better to be little, like a little child. I live with my mom and dad, even though that I'm 30. I won't develop my career. The main thing is to sit with my friends in a coffee shop in the evening, watch a soccer game. That's my life. And it's true that this way you can bring a person to be happy, but what degree of happiness is it? Yeah, it could be a situation where I get pleasure from different things. Even today, we need immediate satisfactions, but happiness doesn't necessarily come from the immediate satisfaction. In my eyes, happiness is the realization of life in a way that I feel that I have not limited myself in those things that suit a person, that are suitable of being a person, and not to remain a little kid next to your parents, even though that I'm already 30 or 40, and not to be restricted only to soccer or something or bicycle riding. There are many things that's what a person does, and he doesn't want anything else in life. I remember that one of my acquaintances had some problems when I was a student, when we were young, so he went to a neurologist who directed him to a psychologist, and the psychologist said, you know, you need to restrict yourself. Take the war between France and England in the Middle Ages and study it. Be an expert only in that. And you'll be satisfied with it. You'll be happy that you're unique in that. Open all the books about it and invest half your life into it so that you'll have this special kind of hobby that wherever you are, you'll be able to say something about it. No one knows about it and you do. You make something very primitive out of a man. Same with health. Not that we must keep all the enzymes and proteins and this and that and measure everything according to different theories that collide with one another, but we need to know that health's there in order for me to realize myself and that I'll feel happy. That the body is the means for something, not the goal. Right. Anything where we put the emphasis not on happiness as the realization of life, but on anything else that needs to only be a component of happiness, then that's already not the right way. What's interesting is that when we look at the different ways that people have nowadays, try nowadays to get pleasure, these are different things that awaken those substances in our body and mind that awaken a sense of happiness. There was this test done on mice, experiment, that once the mouse pushed this pedal, he got sugar, and mice really became addicted to that pedal. They stopped sleeping, eating, they were only pushing the pedal to get pleasure. So what's the difference between my sense of happiness and the hormones secreted in my mind? Maybe I can pedal all life long. No, that's why I said the realization of life, using life for something more exalted, higher, that I'll feel that there is something in my life that's worthwhile living for, even though that these questions, eternal questions, can really bother a person. But without that, usually I fall into despair. And this is what we see nowadays in humanity. That actually, I can't say that people are despaired because they don't have elementary things in order to arrange their life, because The feeling of despair is something that, first and foremost, exists in developed countries. And what they're missing, and this could be subconscious, is what am I living for? What was I born for? What do I have as a result? I don't want to run after anything. I feel that if 100 years ago, 50 years ago even, I think that there is a point in running after something that's worthwhile in the media and all kinds of factors stimulated me to try and catch these different fulfillments, then today I'm already experienced. They see that I have nothing as a result. Sit and do nothing, like that Mexican sitting under the tree, not wanting to do anything, justfully. But also as a result of sitting and doing nothing, also nothing comes as a result, meaning we've reached a state where either I invest my entire life in whatever it is, or I'm not doing anything in life. One way or another, I'm discontent. If a few dozens of years ago I could forget about myself, the main thing is to run, be ahead of everyone. Who's running faster? Like sprint runners in a stadium. Then he runs, I run. There's a kind of competition between us. There's action. Everyone's under the influence of the hormones that we secrete, etc., etc. So there's something about it. But time goes by, the ego grows, as I've become wiser, and I don't want to be in this competition anymore because I see that I'm incapable of shutting my eyes on being in a resultless race. But only when I run, I remember myself. I was good at running. 45 years ago, maybe even more, 50 years. So I remember that when I used to run, I used to feel like a bird that's flying. It's a special feeling. Yes, there were hormones, endorphins. It was a great pleasure, really. People become addicted to it, right? Because they need this hormone, so it's clear. And afterwards, when you finish, you feel bad. Problems start, not only despair, but also health problems. So here is the thing, that we grew to a state where either we give a person drugs, and then, by the way, I heard that they're already starting to build marijuana factories in Canada. It's a wonder, really. I saw that also the punishments are reduced. Yeah, that's for a long time. A doctor is given permission to cure, so to speak. Yeah, to give different prescriptions, etc., etc. But really that they wanted to destroy South America, that instead of them living off coca and marijuana, etc., etc., now they're building big plants, factories in the north someplace, and you can artificially grow it. All in all, it's heat and soil. But you don't predict that we'll be happier. Certainly there will be a sense of happiness, but we'll be high, we'll be drugged. So happiness won't be happiness. So I'm saying that the feeling of happiness is that I'm happy because I feel the essence of life. I feel my life, that as a result of its realization, I reach happiness. Happiness is a result of living and realizing what's called life. And not just a feeling of happiness, but maybe they can give me a shot. Maybe at some point we'll get a shot for life. And I'll be happy all life long. Or they'll put this balloon into me that will every time emit a bit, that I'll have enough of these hormonal emissions for 30 or 50 years, however much it can emit, and that's it. Today there are different courses of how to reach happiness and awareness, where they talk to people about life being transient, that there's death eventually, and they tell them, now think that you have 3 months still of your life, 3 months left, and how do you live your life now? Now, the Western culture kind of hides it, but if you think about it, it allows you to realize life differently. And how do they realize it? What do they think? I'll go to the bank, I'll take a loan, and go abroad. What do I care? What happens in 3 months happens. I don't think that the way that the world's organized today that we can realize life, doesn't matter how much time we have. Life is limited one way or another. I won't feel pleasure. It's described positively only in novels. Or people that are really in such states and they know about their life that's restricted in time, limited, and then they really have self-scrutiny and then they rise above life. These are already special cases, but I'm talking about a person that really suppose something happened to him, has a health problem, and as a result, it hurts his sense of happiness, and suppose he can't correct whatever health problem that he has that influences his sense of happiness, how does he complete it then, compensate for it? Then he really has a problem and needs to come to know the plan of creation, purpose of creation, the one that governs life, how to start managing this life, what's before death, after death, all these things that he'll really start inquiring, because in these states where our emotions, our senses are especially sharpened, that they really go through a modification, improvement, then a person can reach a state where suddenly something of the truth opens up to them, that our life is very limited, small, and temporary, and besides this life, above it, there is another, different existence. But that's already a different kind of treatment, and I'd really be happy to reach all these kinds of people and to try to elevate them above the feeling of the lack of happiness to a different kind of happiness, eternal happiness, that precisely in a state of illness, there's an opportunity. Of course, otherwise one wouldn't have been ill, so much so, because it's all an opportunity. And let's hope that we'll also be able to once realize it. So if we're talking about curing a state of illness, today there are different approaches to talk about body and mind, and if you need to add something, then there are meditations, there's guided imagination, there are different workshops. Do you think that there is something that can be added to this treatment? It's a problem, I can't say, because my method is a very hard one. It's not immediate. It's a method that ties the intellect and the emotion. It's a method in which a person starts working on himself, on his qualities, measures, and it's much more, let's say, massive in terms of getting to know it, using it, instead of using some kind of meditation, guided imagination, and things like that, in a group where he's already flying around. And that's it. Maybe with some drugs, too, and with all these things together, of course, it's a kind of maybe preparation. Maybe it's a lie, but still. This is what puts a person to sleep. Gives them hope, gives them some kind of calm. He goes through the limited time that he has left. I don't want to disconnect him from it, because nonetheless, any suffering, on the one hand, in my calculation that it corrects a person, but it's not that I'm saying that a person should suffer. Is there some kind of formula for healing? I saw that people invest a lot in their healing and it doesn't necessarily help them. Once my doctor told me about a mentally challenged patient that he had, that he couldn't work with the power of thought and intellect, etc., etc., but he still got well. You don't always see the connection between the efforts that a person makes on the cognitive level and getting well. We can't do any statistics on it because it's above our ability. Only according to the science that I'm holding on to, I can say that if a person rises above his own ego, that actually all the illnesses and different calculations and our entire life and world, etc., are inside of a person's ego, if a person can rise above it, then he starts seeing a different picture. Then he starts seeing a different world, different dimension, a dimension of forces that work on us, that operate us, that we're like small animals in this little bubble called our universe, that we live here for a short period of time, and all of these forces that are working on us, we can act back on them, and by that, to cause balance. We can bring them to such a level of operating on us that we'll be able to become well and get rid of all troubles and problems, and besides, we'll attain the purpose of our existence, and we'll be able to determine ourselves the order of actions, the essence of actions, and that way to rise above our life, meaning that I will then determine what my life is. It's a serious degree, and one way or another, humanity will come to it, because the feeling of lack of happiness will nonetheless develop, even though that we're talking about happiness all the time, but it won't help. Humanity will feel itself less and less happy, and along with it, will better and better understand it, and won't be able to hide itself by all these different kinds of means and false methods. It won't be able to put itself to sleep, to somehow restrict itself, and eventually people will come and demand to govern their life, a governance which is above life, a real connection with the supernatural forces that are governing our life, that are governing our ego, in other words, because that's the main thing. Were I to know how to govern my ego, in which I perceive reality, in which I understand, in which I feel, in which I everything, then I'd rise above my life. Because when I was born, I have no idea who am I, what am I, but I all the time get different kinds of fulfillments. There's a program being flown into me all the time that afterwards I see myself in it, my environment, life, calculations, thoughts. I start comparing between things. Were I not to develop in a certain environment, I would have been a completely different person. I would have also had thought and inner logic and everything very different. So we see that our problem is to eventually rise above our life, meaning our current development will cause this strong desire in us for it. And then we will be able to, even though that it's not a simple method, but to reach a method that governs our perception of reality, perception of life, that will see our life from the side, that will see the forces that are operating us, and that will know how to use them in a completely different way. Simply having, without having anything to do with our health, happiness, or anything else that we have in life. But simply the ego itself, our ego that's governing our life today, it is bringing us to a state where we will need to step on it and rise above it. Okay, is it possible to nonetheless understand something from a state of sickness? There's an approach that says that you didn't get sick for nothing, but you can learn about it something, some kind of corrections, some kind of self-improvement. I don't exactly remember the list, but there's a list that if this happened to you, then you have such and such a psychological problem, etc., etc. That's already the search for those forces that are governing us. It's pretty superficial because we don't know neither the starting point or the ending point that we need to come to, and what's in between, the beginning and end, which we call life. What do we need to go through it with? What kind of calculation should we finish life with? Because if we look at a person, he was born, he developed for 20 years, for another 20, 30 years, he functioned, lived his life even less, and then he grows old. And what do you have as a result? So he's lived his life, so what? From that, we don't know what calculation are we finishing life with, meaning what's worthwhile for us. There are entire religions and people that say that it's better to suffer more. There are those that say no, like Epicurus, who says, enjoy life as much as you can, etc., etc. And there are those that say, no, you need to be like this, like that. Someone suffered, you need to suffer too. In short, there are many different kinds of beliefs and religions. But if we're talking about happiness, then nonetheless, the inclination toward happiness, toward the search for happiness, is what guides us and accompanies us all the time. I just wanted to add that in our day-to-day life, without the high philosophies we talked about now, we need to talk about happiness and health in terms of mental health, not bodily health, but that it really depends on the environment. If we arrange the environment correctly, then its influence over a person is vast. And then his feeling of happiness multiplies. And here we need to see the ability of whether we can arrange such groups, communes, where people are interconnected, where they help each other. Like those kids that I gave the example with, that part of them were handicapped. That if a person in such an environment feels that he is 100% like everyone else, and each does with everyone else's help, what did we build an entire civilization for? So that each can use everyone else on condition that he contributes to the environment too. Then here, our state of health doesn't play such a big role. Now, I'm already pretty limited, even though that once I used to be an athlete and quick, etc., etc. Today, obviously, I'm approaching my 70s. So, therefore, we need to understand that the state of health is the feeling of health. It's not exactly a state. because they can check my different measurements, etc., etc. It doesn't matter. What matters is the environment that I live in. What can I give to the environment, and what can the environment give me? I can't give it strength. But many other things, I can't now retire, because many people are dependent on me. So I feel how alive I am. My friends that I studied together with in the university, that I used to work with, suppose 40 years ago, they're all now sitting. What are they doing exactly? I don't know. How is that possible? You know, without a purpose. Well, they're grandchildren, etc., etc., but still. The feeling of health means the measure in which I can realize myself in order to reach happiness, and not that happiness has some kind of a degree in and of itself, because that person who's limited in something, that God forbid we see that he has no hands, then he grabs that crayon with his foot and draws even better than I do with my hand and gets greater satisfaction out of it. Yeah. So all of these things are only relative. They're dependent on society, on the measure to which I support society and society can support me. And therefore, the feeling of happiness and health and the connection between them really depends on the environment that I'm in. There's a definition by the World Health Organization for health that it is a state of complete physical, mental, and social well-being, and not merely the absence of disease. Meaning it says that happiness really depends on these things. Going back to the body for a moment, because it's truly, it's a wondrous machine. Today, there are many researches that say that besides the intelligence that we have that comes from our intellect, the body also has its intelligence, that they talk about the wisdom of the heart, that the heart has a certain feel that influences things, that much of our communication is nonverbal, that our skin has different receptacles that grasp information from the environment. The digestive system has a neuron system that's very similar to the neurons in our brain. And our digestive system is called the second brain. So when we talk about a gut feeling, it's true that really our gut feels. And researches show that it even acts independently of the brain. Do you see it that way? Does our gut, does our body have intelligence? Well, that it influences our, head, that's for sure. Our entire body is that way because it's one complete system, and we can't disconnect one part from another. And now that we pay attention to it, that's also good. Better late than never. But maybe we'll reach a state where we will really relate to our body, to each and every part of it. On the one hand, we're approaching a state where we will be able to replace the head. The face can already be replaced. All other parts of the body can be replaced. Maybe we'll also be able to replace the head. So where is man? Where is his character? Where is his intelligence? Where is his memory, his attitude toward life? Suddenly, you appear in front of me, and you tell me that, suppose you went through some kind of modification, cloning, I don't know, instead of someone else that was there before. It only shows us the measure in which we need to reach a state where we connect with one another through inner information. And here, our health is already no longer physical health, but it's mental health. When we talk about happiness, That's supposed to reach a state where we will not be limited by our bodily health. You see, people can already live for 90 years, and it's not the limit. People will live till 120, and that's not the limit. The problem is that we will be able to reach happiness regardless of our health. That health won't be a parameter, that we're not dependent on it, unless it bothers me. Even when it bothers, we'll need to create different systems, whether social ones or medical, that a person won't feel that his health is influencing his happiness. But again, we stumble upon the problem of health. What about it? Yeah, what will take my mind off my body so much that will make me happy? No, the body won't comprise any kind of limitation, any kind of partition that specifically because of it, I'm not happy. We yearn for it. We will come to it. It's not a problem that health won't influence our happiness. That people will live for many years and they'll be healthy. The problem is, what for? This is the question of happiness. What for? Here, a person will be less and less happy. In the past, a person didn't ask whether he's happy or not. I live because I live. I was born, so I live. He didn't even ask about I was born or how or what. Later on in the 20th century, along with psychology, it developed that psychology started at the beginning of the 20th century and came to an end at the end of the 20th century. Today, we're in a state where we don't know how to answer this. Yeah, we'll have an entire show about meaning and happiness, but you talked about some kind of inner information that we'll be able to approach somehow, maybe through the body. There's the method called focusing, developed by psychologists from the University of Chicago. And they took interest in why does psychotherapy work on some people and doesn't on others. And they found out that those people that were able to get better are those that stopped, listened to, took a moment to think about what they're hearing, paid attention to what they feel in their body, and through that listening, new information is opened to them that exists on the inside. But if we don't listen, we have no access to it. So if we're talking about information, is there information in our body that we're not aware of, that if we'll listen to it, it'll be able to help us? No, not at all. Our body is an animal. What can I learn from it? Medicine. So, I'm this animal's doctor. Also, when I listen to my psyche as if to my different drives, desires, thoughts, connection between people, that I learn it from life. I don't learn it from the internality, from where it comes from. I learn the phenomena, the results. And therefore, we'll never know about these things, no matter how much we advance. We will get ever more confused. And everything that we advance in, there's this breakthrough, ascent, could even be for a few hundreds or thousands of years, but then, still, one way or another, everything comes to an end. They saw that it helps with depression, anxiety, connect to yourself, to your inner voice. Yes, for the time being, in certain cases in life, yes. Later comes a time where it doesn't help anymore, like with the different medicine and methods, as we see. In the past, people treated other people only with the help of religion, with the help of different techniques, religious techniques, or with the help of different exercises, body, you know, physical exercises. Where is that? In the past, people, I once was in this museum where the entire museum was a doctor's house from about 400 years ago. along with this small field where you had different plants, different things, and at home you had different thousands of plants, hanging things, this, there. And it worked. Today, no. We're so intoxicated that it doesn't work on us. And so it all passes. What's left is man facing the concept of happiness, not knowing what to do. And in such countries where you have all options, people that have been through everything feel unhappy. There's one more topic. One of the approaches I've heard about is that in order to be happy and healthy, a person needs to have healthy boundaries for him to know what are his basic needs, how much can he do for others, and up to there and no more. And you see that people that are actually ill with cancer are those that give more, that are nice, that don't keep their boundaries. And there's this approach that I heard that an illness is that you didn't keep your boundaries, you don't have a healthy ego, and now you're getting a state where you have to go back to balance, as if nature is forcing you to go back to balance. Yeah, there's something about it. I'm sure that it's true, but depends on to what extent that a person's unbalanced, that he doesn't have a balanced give and take in relation to his environment. That's for sure. The question is, to what extent does it have an immediate effect over his health? That's a question, because nonetheless, we're all developing, and all of humanity is like the life of one person that's born, lives, and needs to approach something that probably in this way he dies. Everything has a cycle. Our life here too. And therefore, we need to understand that to simply limit a person in a rational way in his life, for him to be like a balanced machine with the environment, and that he'll be completely healthy and happy, it doesn't work. They want to do it in China, they want to do it in Russia to some extent. Communism was all about it. But that's only on condition if we rise above nature, that we have the ability to be happy, and that we give, and precisely not in that we receive. So there are truth in these principles, but they're insufficient. Yeah, they're very limited and restricted. They don't allow a person to rise above his nature, and therefore in the give and take, he lives like in a limited commune. And we saw what happened with all the kibbutzes and everything. It doesn't work anymore. But a person that is working on rising above his nature and coming out of himself, he still needs to keep that level of his existence. No doubt, were we able to keep give and take, reception and bestow in a balanced way, we would have been like balanced animals. I don't eat too much, don't eat too little, sleep when I can, don't when I can't, etc., etc. Because we have an ego, our ego is above the body, it belongs to the human level. Man's inclination is evil. But were we to live only according to our body and share everything between us, etc., etc., that would have been ideal. But that is not the form of man. Our ego makes us want to control everyone, and we won't be able to limit ourselves. And a person who's approaching the level of man he needs for his body to be healthy in order to be able to do it, for this we need to rise above our life. These are eternal questions of what are we living for, what's the purpose, what kind of forces, what forces of nature are governing us and controlling us, and then we'll reach happiness, but after we work on ourselves. And then too, I'll need my body, then I will be able to control everything that happens in the world, including my body as an integral part of the entire system. Our time's almost up. What should we take from this show about health and happiness? First of all, there's a certain connection between happiness and health. it's good to bring a person to a state where his health will not stand in his way of feeling happy, but that he'll feel himself happy, not because he's healthy, but simply that his body, his general state of health, is not standing in his way of reaching happiness. Because there are those that are happy because they're healthy. So what? They're living in order to be healthy. The body's healthy in order to realize something, in order for a person to become, to reach the degree of man and not stay on the animate level. And therefore, in our entire advancement, human advancement, we aspire to reach a state where health will be a safe part that we take care of and don't need to worry about, and it allows us to do what we can, meaning that it won't be an obstacle in our way of achieving happiness. That's the preferable state. And what do you do about the happiness? To be continued. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. We understand that it's possible to be healthy and happy. Thank you, Tal Mandelbaum. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.